This is Joan Tower. I'm a living composer. I'm a woman composer, and this is my choice of significant women composers through history for International Women's Month on WMHT. 31 composers for the 31 days of March. March 31st. Joan Tower.
The pioneering, Grammy-winning American composer, internationally celebrated as a towering figure in American music, who still gets commissioned and performed after 65 years of composing. Born in Westchester County in 1938, now living close to Bard College in the Catskills, where she still holds a chair, a foundational experience was when her geologist, mineralogist father moved the family to Bolivia when she was nine, and that's where she grew up, soaking up the music and rhythm and learning piano and percussion. Later, she became the pianist and founder of the Da Capo Players just after she graduated from Columbia University. That was the first of her many doctorates, winning many big awards, including the Gold Baton from the League of American Orchestras, Composer of the Year from Musical America, and the National Service Award from Chamber Music America. Her breakthrough was with Sequoia in 1981, and she's been performed right around the world ever since, travelling extensively through both chamber music and orchestral worlds with a cycle of 9 string quartets to date and over 11 concertos for leading international soloists and ensembles, including Alisa Weilerstein, who recently premiered her cello concerto A New Day, as well as Evelyn Glennie and the Emerson and Tokyo quartets, to mention just a few. Joan Tower won her Grammy in 2005 for Made in America, performed in every single state of the Union. She's been played by every major orchestra in the States. She's held numerous composer residencies and is the first woman composer to win the Grawemeyer Award, becoming inducted into the American Academy of Arts and Letters way back in 1998. Here's one of her popular fanfares for the uncommon woman that you hear at the start of these programs. She's been in a $1,600 question on Jeopardy, on the SAT tests, even on a capsule sent into space. And the town of Red Hook, where Joan lives and where we've been recording these programs, named September 16th as Music Appreciation Day in her honor after her 80th birthday in 2018. Was that all right, Joan?
That was fantastic.
You're fantastic. I think you're most proud of the Red Hook Music Appreciation Day, even more than your Grammy, are you?
That happened actually at my 80th birthday party at Fisher Center at Bard. This guy came on stage, and I didn't know who he was or anything. And he says, oh, I'm mayor of Red Hook, and we want to name a day after you, Music Appreciation Day. I was like totally flabbergasted by his appearance.
That is so fantastic. Yeah. That is fantastic. How did it go selecting these composers for the series? Was it easy or difficult?
Oh, it was difficult because there's so many more that I could have included, but fascinating in the sense of what I have been learning throughout this whole process. It's been a really exciting journey for me. Thank you. And thank you for even thinking of this as a possibility. It's an honor. It's an honor, really.
Oh, we're so grateful. Did you enjoy it? Was it an enjoyable
experience? I did. Of course I did. The history courses that I took for many years, the one that was the most interesting to me was the history of music and women. It's a totally fascinating history. Huh. Not a good one.
No. Maybe we're at last redressing that, huh?
Yeah.
And what about you? I'm interested in your time in Bolivia. How did it affect you? And do you think you would still have become a composer if you hadn't gone?
I was becoming a pianist at that point. I was studying with Mrs. Erika von Stroheim. She was a witch, but she really was a good teacher. I thought I was going to be a pianist. It was many years later that somebody asked me to compose something. And so that did not happen in South America, no. In South America, I learned a lot about a different culture, a different set of musical styles. I was dancing all the time with the Incas there and playing percussion with them. And it was just an eye-opening experience to be brought up in South America.
Is that where the energy and rhythm in your music
yes,
comes from?
Yes, exactly. Rhythm, yeah. Because I was also a dancer. And so my music is very based on kind of a visceral rhythm.
We've been hearing all through the series of the challenges that women have faced, women composers have faced. And the younger composers that we've been hearing of in the series say of you, Joan Tower, that it was you who really had to get the machete out and carve a path for the women who followed. Is that true? What challenges have you faced?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't know that there was a problem with women composers. I just didn't know that. I had to learn the history to know that I was actually in the forefront of the history. And learning that history was an incredibly nourishing thing, because then it made me see where I was along that line of history. That's why education is so important, to know where you are, sometimes historically speaking. So, yeah. I don't think there was any overt sexism while I was growing up, in the sense of somebody rejected me because I was a woman, but I have no idea, because it was all in the, you know, the back rooms making decisions. But I was usually treated pretty well. It's just that there weren't many women being played at all. And my colleagues were all winning prizes in the 20s, when they were in their 20s. I wasn't. But I just thought that's the way it was.
You mean your male colleagues?
Yes, my male colleagues, yeah. And I thought that's the way it is. And so, but I was just writing my little solo pieces and struggling to write a good piece. It never occurred to me that things were not right at that point. You know.
That's interesting, because one of our women composers has remarked on the importance of mentors. And that's something that women have lacked. Women composers have lacked. They've lacked mentors.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There were no mentors. Yeah. And when I was looking for women composers to play with Da Capo, I suddenly realized there were only two that I could come up with in my vicinity who were much older than I was. And it was interesting to see how bad their history was. I mean, how little they were played. Yeah, and it got better, and it's a lot better now, but we still have a way to go with, in the classical world, with living composers, much less female composers. Yeah.
Do you think there'll ever be a time when you were just a composer and women are equal with men?
Oh, yeah, probably at some point in 30, 50 or something like that. No, I'm just kidding. I think at Me Too time, in the 2020, that was a significant time for women, all kinds of women, but particularly for composers, because suddenly the orchestras were taking composers on, which they hadn't done before, women composers. And then the black composers became the next issue, and then now they're being played a lot. Florence Price is probably one of the most played composers right now. When she was alive, she could hardly get her foot in the door for a performance. You know? So things have changed culturally speaking, and that's affected us.
You must be very gratified about that, huh?
Well, yeah.
You've chosen all the music you wanted to play with each of these composers. Let's talk about the music you've chosen of yours for yourself. Your cello concerto, A New Day, recently premiered in 2024. Tell me about this.
This was written for my husband, who died. My husband of 50 years, who was my family, basically. And commissioned by four different orchestras, which is always a wonderful thing to have. And now it's being picked up. There are three cellists who are playing this now. And it's a very personal piece, and I love the piece, actually. That's something I don't say very often. I'm extremely critical of my own music. And so that's the piece I would like to share with everybody.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Joan Tower, thank you so much for this glorious series of yours. Here you are at 86, still composing in the afternoon every single day. What drives you?
Music. And giving something to a performer that makes them feel like they can give something to the world too. It's a very intimate way to build a relationship with a performer, is to write a good piece for them. So that's my goal, is to write the best piece I can, and I'll never give that up. I ran into this conductor in New Mexico, when I was on the road with the Made in America. Mm. He was a real character. We got to know each other, and he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "Music is my choice of drug." It was a survival thing for him. Never forgot that. And then I have a pianist friend who said something similar. She said, "The piano is my best friend." So I said, "Music is my choice of drug, and music is my best friend." I'm Joan Tower, born 1938, written and produced by Charlotte Wilson for WMHT. Can I change my date? No, sorry.